141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. They say a win's a win, unless of course it's a 2-0 win against San Marino, which does little to improve the national mood after Kazakhstan. Alex McLeish insists the campaign isn't over as it goes on the back burner until June. The travelling Tartan Army booed the team at full time. We'll hear what the captain made of that as well. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
The SFA are in serious trouble. The people who booed Scotland off the park in San Marino, the people who directed offensive chants towards the SFA hierarchy in San Marino, are the hardcore, die-hard foot soldiers of the Tartan Army. If they don't go to games and stage a revolt, then there are very few others who care about the team. The SFA needs cash. They still haven't completed the transaction to buy Hampden from Queen's Park. They still don't have a major sponsor. And under those circumstances, they can't afford to suffer damage to the revenue streams they already have. The fans are speaking out. The SFA had better start listening.
Well, Hugh's right. I think a lot of people will be of that same opinion, that the SFA have a big decision to make this week, because following on from the Kazakhstan game, that everyone thought there was going to be this positive reaction. Alex McLeish could at least get his team to go out and rack up a resounding victory against San Marino. And even with six changes, the team weren't able to do that. That's worrying signs. And Hugh touched on it. The big crowd that went to San Marino and booed them is the life and soul of Scotland. World famous Tartan Army. If they aren't happy, the SFA have big problems.
It just shows you, Hugh, the damage was done on Thursday.
Yes.
There was very little, if anything, that we could do to repair that damage against San Marino because of where they are.
Yeah.
You know, the 2-0, clearly it wasn't a good performance. You get away with a 2-0 win against San Marino if you've won the previous game.
Sure.
Especially over there. But the damage was done on Thursday, and last night just compounded it.
There is no point to San Marino. They will lose to everyone in the group, home and away. Therefore, the only thing you do is you turn up and play them, because if you don't turn up and play them, you'll be thrown out of the tournament for not fulfilling your fixture list. What Alec had to do last night was at least put up a performance. We know that it's all about Kazakhstan last Thursday, but if there had been a performance, then it would have kept everyone at bay for a moment or two. But it was shambolic, and it's just added to the misery.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. Let's hear from you. We are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Alex McLeish says it was important to get the 3 points after losing in Kazakhstan. He is disappointed they didn't kick on from the early goal and that they didn't take chances later in the game.
He said to the lads, implored them before the game, that if you get a goal, get the ball and look for another one as quickly as possible. And then we kind of getting a little rut, you know, some straight passes, not like some of the excellent players we have, not like them for that to happen. Bit of tiredness creeping in with one or two players, resulting in the substitutions. But getting the second goal was the goal that settled everybody. And we made four or five chances after that, which, you know, really wish to take, and great to see that the guys coming into the team and making the chances.
It's been a difficult weekend for us. We knew that, you know, 1-0, 2-0 was not going to be looked at in any great light at all. It was important for us to win after the disappointment of Kazakhstan. Everybody's hurting on that one, and we never quite got the avalanche of goals that everybody was looking for. You know, there's a little bit of agitation, obviously, and when we didn't get the second goal, then the players get a little bit nervy. We're only human.
I mean, Mark, you've played in loads of games where you are the overwhelming favourite. You cannot simply guarantee that you will turn up and score 5, 6, 7 goals. It just doesn't happen. Just look across football at any level, in any competition, it doesn't always happen. That said, people were clearly expecting a bit more, and the performance was just dull.
Yeah, I think that's it, Gordon. I think the gap between the teams, I mean, San Marino rock bottom in world rankings, you know, like Hugh says there's no point to them. He's basically right. You know, they're a nothing side. So for all our players to go there and perform probably as poorly as they did in Kazakhstan, I think we were lucky that we were playing San Marino. Now, looking back at the game, San Marino didn't have any clear-cut chances, but they had a few little breaks, the one they go round Bain, and that's just not good enough for the Tartan Army. They expected our players to go there and take command of that game. Well, we had loads of possession and we created one or two chances, scored a couple of goals. The fans are looking for much more, and that's the one thing that our coaching team weren't able to get that out the players, because I said it on Thursday night after the game, we have the players. These players are good players at club level. They're all playing and they're all at a good place in their career, good age group. However, when they come together in this Scotland setup, they seem to fail. And there seems to be, I've read people saying there's an apathy about the team. That seems to be the case. And that's a worrying thing. And going forward to the Cyprus game in June, you wonder what kind of crowd will want to turn up and see that team play if the current structure is still in place. And then going forward one more to Belgium, you then start to fear, if we play like against San Marino in Kazakhstan, what are we going to be like away from home against the number one team in the world?
Just to be clear, Hugh, you've outlined what you think should happen. What do you think will happen? Will there be a decision to remove Alex McLeish this week in your mind?
No,
not for you?
Not a chance. He will go on into the game against Cyprus at Hampden. Now, Cyprus lost 2-0 to Belgium last night, but Belgium are the number one ranked side in the world. So we have to be careful of yet another banana skin when Cyprus go to Hampden on the 8th of June. It's a Saturday night. The crowd will be very low because there is no enthusiasm for the national team. It's June. Folk will have started to go on holiday. It's a Saturday night. People will have better things to do with their Saturday night than watch Cyprus at Hampden. So it'll have to negotiate that match and hope that nothing happens that affects the group. And then when we get to Brussels to play Belgium the following midweek, everything comes into sharp focus.
Josh is a Scotland fan on the line somewhere between San Marino and Irvine. How was it, Josh?
Another great trip, guys. But the result was not what we wanted at all. There was a lot of anger in the stadium last night. And I have to say that those are the kind of sentiments that I feel myself. And it's more so, it's not so much directed at the players, because as Mark was saying, the players on paper, this is a very good team, this is a very good squad. You look at, who we have, who they play for, we've got a great squad. And even a lot of fans I speak to, obviously we speak a lot and when we're partying and that, going to the games. And a lot of the blame isn't actually directed at Alec McLeish, it's more so towards the SFA and their appointment of Alec McLeish, which, in my opinion, I suppose with the benefit of hindsight, has definitely been the wrong appointment.
Josh, the mood in the stadium last night, the booing, is that the first time you've heard that type of thing? Because generally, and you'll know this more than me because you go to most of the away games, that's the hardcore, if you like. They are the most supportive of the Scotland fans. I remember when we played Gibraltar over in Portugal, and there was a feeling in the country that Gordon Strachan, his time was up, and there was getting a lot of criticism. But in the stadium that night, it didn't translate. The fans all got behind him. Gordon Strachan spoke about how much it meant to him, and he went on to continue in the role. So you don't often hear that from a Scotland support on the road. Was that a new experience for you?
Yeah. I mean, and most people would say the same, that this is the first time. This is the first time I've been to any football game and I've heard the team's own supporters chanting, "You're getting sacked in the morning," to their own manager. It's never anything that I've experienced following Scotland. And I have to say, when there was, I was involved in it myself. With certain chants about the SFA. Etc. And it stems from a place of anger, really, at the Kazakhstan game, obviously, but at the total apathy of the performance last night. There was no organisation. There's just no structure. Players are getting the ball and they look as if they're hiding. No one's showing for the ball. It's not the Scotland team that. Okay, Gordon Strachan had his failings. in the previous two campaigns, and we didn't qualify, but this is a different team I'm looking at, you know, and it's obviously a different team in terms of personnel, but the whole style of play is just not, you know, I mean, 2-0 against San Marino, I mean, it's a team full of taxi drivers and factory workers.
The SFA has a massive credibility problem. Alan McCrae, the president, is regarded as a joke figure among football supporters, and that's not got everything to do with making a cup draw with Rod Stewart one day. He's a massive joke figure in the eyes of the supporters, and he's not been forgiven for abandoning the search for a Scotland manager to replace Gordon Strachan because Michael O'Neill said no and he went to an old pal. And he made it sound as if he'd gone to an old pal. Who begins a press conference to introduce the new Scotland manager by going on about how long you've known him and you were once on his testimonial committee? How do you draw attention away from the fact that it's old pal's time by doing that kind of thing? Rod Petrie goes effortlessly, and he's the next president unless somebody opposes him. Rod Petrie goes effortlessly from one calamity to the other, both at the SFA and at Hibs. This is the man who called a riot at Hampden after the Hibs Rangers Cup final over exuberance. This is the man who somehow lost Neil Lennon, who had Hibs playing their best football in a long, long time. He was not pushed, he did not jump, but somehow Neil Lennon was no longer the manager. And this guy is going to be the next president of the SFA.
Mark Wilson, and it seems as if the apathy is such that we're now caught in this sort of vicious cycle. Because let me be very clear, if you're a fan and you follow Scotland with such dedication, spend so much money, travel all across the globe, you've got every single right to make your feelings heard. So let me be clear about that. However, as a footballer, if you are on the back of what has been labelled the worst ever result in Scotland's history, your confidence is bound to be low, the fans are then booing, is it really that surprising that you don't perform in this swashbuckling, expansive, expressive way and sweep San Marino aside by 7 goals?
Now, look, I think if you were playing someone further up the rankings, then you would, I would sympathise. I would say, yeah, that's a tough environment, a tough gig. You know, the fans aren't happy, you're low in confidence. I think when you're playing San Marino, though, that goes out the window. You run over the top of them. You're much fitter, you're much better than them. And I don't think we did look much fitter than them or much better than them. And that is a problem. And I know a lot of the blame's getting pointed at Alex McLeish. However, the players themselves have to take responsibility. I think often players do get away with a lot of things. But last night, when you're playing against that level of opposition, you have to be better when you're on the park.
Redbeard Alistair is on Twitter. I think it sounds a bit like you wrote this tweet, Hugh Keevans. Mm-hmm. The equinox has been eclipsed. Our dream of qualification quashed. Astonished in Astana to stuttering in San Marino. Two teams with a combined coefficient of 318. We should be ashamed. The only positive, 3 points, and we're not in a group with the Germans and the Dutch.
Well, if that's a positive.
Let's see what Archie and Shawlands has got for us. Hi, Archie.
It's just a load of rubbish, guys. You're wasting your time. Oh. Listen, I phoned up when we lost to Israel and that wee three group, the European nations. I don't know if you remember, I phoned up and said that's not the manager we should have. But see, when you think about it, it's not the manager. It's not really Alan McLeish's fault. These players, where do people think we've got good players? Half of the Scotland squad come from the SPL, which is a laughing stock to the world in Europe. We've got one player in the, well, two players in the Premier League, Fraser and Robertson. And by the way, don't get me started on Robertson. He's not as good as people think. We've got a world-class player who plays in the American League. Somebody said the guy scored a goal last night. And we've got a player that plays in Germany, Bundesliga 2. That's not much better when you think of the San Marino, is it?
Archie, let's, I know it was bad, but let's not get hysterical here. First of all, who's ever called Johnny Russell world-class? You just said it, so I'm just wondering if we can clear it up. Who called Johnny Russell world class?
I've heard people saying that in other radio stations. Obviously, they don't know what they're talking about. What I'm trying to say to these guys, we're just an average team. Yes, certainly, we are better than San Marino, and we should have scored more goals than them. But these average players, because that's what I'm going to call them, they are average players. When you get the people with the kilts shouting at the stands, you're getting sacked in the morning and things like that, that's not going to help.
So Archie, what are you advocating then? What is the purpose of your call?
Well, what I'm trying to say is, one, we're an average team, and the fans have got to realise that.
But see, the thing is that may well be right. In fact, at the moment, I'm not sure you could put forward an argument to contradict that. But that's not necessarily the point. If we are average, the whole point is Kazakhstan should be below average, and San Marino are miles below average.
Listen, I think a point as well that Scotland fans are really concerned about just now. If Archie says we're average, well, I tell you what, so are Wales, so are Northern Ireland. And the problem is we're watching those teams who I think your squad is a better squad than those squads,
or certainly comparable. Let's not bother about whether it's better or it's not, but it's certainly comparable.
Yeah, you're right. And our fans are watching them get victories, no problem. You know, routine victories against better teams in Kazakhstan and San Marino, and we are left with a squad, and it leads Archie to say, you know, our squad's at, you know, average, and we've got players in the SBL. These players are good players. However, we're not getting the best out of them, I don't know what reason that is.
I mean, Charlie, I'm not saying that he performed brilliantly for Scotland last night or in previous games, but elaborate a bit on the Andy Robertson's not as good as people say. I mean, he played in a Champions League final last year. What more would you be looking for from him?
Archie, on you go.
Listen, I'm not saying the guy's not a good player, but he's not. He's in there with world-class players playing along with him.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, come on. See, you're a good player. See, if you're a good player, I'm talking about a good player, I would say Andy Robertson is a good player. He is a very good player. But he's not the Scotland saviour that people think he is. And what I'm trying to say to you is, if you'd like to finish now, my point that I was going to make, you keep interrupting. Three times you've interrupted.
No, it's only twice.
Right, sorry. Well, what I'm saying to you is, see, Gordon Strachan came within 2 points of us getting the qualifying, one game off for the World Cup. Now, these same people that are shouting to Alan McLeish, you're getting booed in the morning and getting sacked in the morning, and GTV said they've got a right to say that. Okay, they have got a right to say that, but that's the same people that got Gordon Strachan sacked. Because they'll say that to him as well. And they'll say it to the next manager, and the next manager, and the next manager after that. What I'm trying to say to you is, Gordon Strachan should have stayed in the job. Okay, he had 2 spells, and he failed in 2 campaigns. But he was getting his places where we're getting half to beat again.
No. On the basis that he failed to qualify for 2 tournaments in a row, he clearly was not getting his places.
Well, it was the calendar year undefeated. You can see where that sentiment comes from, but it's also not a huge shock to part ways with a manager who fails in 2 campaigns.
No, not at all. And I would be against the idea of bringing Gordon Strachan back.
Sideshow Bob is on Twitter. Guys, the 6 changes didn't surprise me, but to start with an unrecognised striker against the worst team in Europe is a joke. To drop Forrest again, I don't get. McTominay couldn't start either. Alex has to go now. Imagine what will happen against Russia and Belgium. Again, team selection was won last night. Mark Wilson had to make a statement. I mean, some people had to be dropped after the Kazakhstan game.
Yeah.
But I think most people agree with Sideshow Bob here. You're looking at that as an ideal game for Forrest.
I was going to say, the one name, you're right, he had to make changes to make a statement. The one name I was surprised was James Forrest. That game is made for a guy like James Forrest. Someone who you want to create, to run by, to show energy. James Forrest ticks all those boxes. He actually comes on and he creates 2 or 3 clear-cut chances. Not to start with him, that puzzled me.
0141 951 1025. We'll hear more from Alex McLeish and take your calls after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Even a day off on Saturday wasn't quite enough to get you over your cold, Hugh Keevans.
No.
I can detect it in my earphones.
I tried
that you're
my
here
best.
And fighting fit.
Yeah, I tried my best Saturday and Sunday. Didn't go outside the house, but it's still there. But
Scotland performance would have cheered you up, though.
Well, it sent me away for a restorative. Put it that way.
Restorative. 0141 951 1025. At Clyde SSB on Twitter, Mark says, come on lads, Steve Clark taking the squad and immediately improved it through better coaching and management and tactics. McLeish is failing. It's made the national team worse than Strachan, who should never have been sacked, says Mark on Twitter. Let's hear a bit more from Alex McLeish.
That's football. I've heard it over the years since I became a professional, and you know that happens in football. You know, sometimes the players get a bit nervous about that, and that's why, you know, sometimes you don't see the free flowing football that we perhaps saw in November. Over the 2 games, we had a mountain of changes, and it's never easy when you don't get a momentum and a rhythm and a kind of nucleus of
bedding down the team that you want to put on the pitch. Early days, the Russians probably watched our video and decided don't defend the way Scotland did for the first two goals, especially. So that is what it is. We have to go forward. We can't look back now or take the clock back and do anything about it. It's never over. We know that the Russians are strong. We know that Belgium are favourites. But it's never over this early in any competition. I think there'll be blips in the ensuing games. And we have to get better. Quite simple. And we need to get our best players into the team. If the Russians don't get their best players and the Belgians don't get their best players, they'll have different results also.
June is never an attractive month for an international fixture anyway, Hugh. Never mind under the current circumstance which the national team and Alex McLeish finds itself. What on earth, assuming he stays in charge, what on earth, how on earth does he handle this between now and June to get as many players on side as possible and make sure that they're there fighting fit for Cyprus?
Now, the public's perception is that players are not turning up because Alex McLeish is the manager. Now, June 8th will be a perfect case in point. The English season will be over and they'll have gone on their holidays. Now, when the slogan is "your country needs you," how many will respond to the call? Because they're not responding now. And if we have the same problem in June when we play Cyprus and Belgium, the number one ranked team in the world, then we are bang in trouble. And I don't mean Belgium. I mean, we have to get over Cyprus at Hampden, first of all. And if the English contingent, who are failing to turn up at the moment, say, "I'm off on holiday, I've had a long season," then we have to then look at changing the whole setup and encouraging players, our best players, from down south to get back in the fold.
Michael's in Irvine. Hi, Michael.
Hi, hi Hugh. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Hello.
Hi. I want your honest opinion, to be honest. Like, since with McLeish being in charge, I don't think we're ever going to qualify for a major tournament when he's in charge. Players just don't seem to be playing for him. Like, it just seems a bit lackadaisical. I watched the game the other night, and from a Scotland fan's perspective, it was an absolute shambles. I've never seen a Scotland team so bad in all my life. I think the SFA need to act and act fast.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. I think Alex McLeish has been a terrific manager over the course. I think he led Scotland to one of our most famous results in my time anyway, away in France. Had a fantastic squad there, unlucky not to qualify. But this time round, when I seen him being appointed, didn't fill me with any excitement or enthusiasm. And I must say, the games after he has been appointed certainly not changed my mind in that. In fact, it has got worse seeing the last two fixtures. And you can go back to Israel, and people will say, well, Israel got a decent result the other night there against Austria. Mm-hmm. But however, I still think we should have managed that game much better.
I mean, I'm not going to try and provide a ridiculous defence of Alex McLeish, but we did win the Nations League group, so can we at least forget about the Israel away performance? Was that not job done?
I don't know if we can, because it was another embarrassment at the time, and he's been manager for a year, and I know we won last night as well, but that's three embarrassing results in a year against teams who are much lower than us in the rankings. I think that's a problem. I think perhaps you get away with one of those, and then people will always remind you, when you've got three questionable results like that and not a huge amount of games, then the fans have every right to voice their concerns over it.
Just to add a note of perspective before people think this is an Alex McLeish witch hunt, Michael speaks about Alex McLeish will never get us to a major tournament. That's been the case with regard to a succession of managers for the last 21 years, and I obviously include Alex the first time around. And then he went off to manage Birmingham City. But a succession of managers over two decades have failed to get us to a major tournament.
Michael?
Hi. What the panel saying is absolutely spot on, but that's the first Scotland game I've watched since McLeish's been manager. I used to thrive in watching Scotland. Scotland used to be under Strachan. I understand he's away and gone now. He's history, but under Strachan, he seemed to have that togetherness with a bunch of players. But something's happened since the UEFA Nations Cup. Something's happened since then. The players just don't seem to want to be there, or the manager's just picking his pals, and it's all to do with Rod Petrie, who's up in the SFA.
Well, it's not all to do with Rod Petrie, since he's not the president. He may be the president-elect, but Alan McRae is the president. Alan McRae and Rod Petrie and Ian Maxwell went for Alec McLeish as the national team manager.
Again, it just shows the scattergun being out, Hugh, because one thing you can definitely hold the results and the performances and various other things against Alex McLeish, but Michael just said, you know, he's just picking his pals. How is he? Who are the pals that he's picking? If anything, Alex McLeish was told by everyone on the phones, on Twitter, on everywhere. Alex McLeish was told, we need to start picking younger players. We're done with all those guys that failed under Gordon Strachan. Come on. And he has. So I'm not sure there's enough out there to criticise him for.
We're in a place where we have an SFA hierarchy who are regarded as figures of fun. They are blamed for bungling the job of finding Gordon Strachan's successor. And since then, of course, Stuart Regan has resigned as the chief executive and he's gone back to England. Then we have the appointment of Alex, which has been looked upon as a retrograde step, going back to someone who in the previous 5 years had one season with Genk in Belgium and 65 days with Zamalek in Egypt. On what basis do you make that man the national team manager? Then we have this assumption that certain players down south would rather concentrate on their clubs and not bother turning up for Scotland. They just don't want to admit it. And that's why I go back to this June 8 fixture against Cyprus and the one that follows against Belgium in Brussels a few days later. If they've all gone off and they're not coming back to represent their country, we're in bother.
I think Hugh's got a point there. I think the way this is going, with the call-offs for these games that are mid-season, I think we'll get a whole host in the summer, and that's worrying for Cyprus. I don't think anybody really gets excited about that, but I think in the past, the group that Gordon Strachan had and the team spirit, or whatever you want to call it, he built, people wanted to play regardless when it was. And I don't think whatever's happening with Scotland just now, that there's players that want to be involved in that. That's a worry. I think it's easy, and there will be some players that go, I've had a long season, I'm nursing an injury, I've been given advice to stay off it, and we can't afford that. We need all our best players, and unfortunately for us, our best players are the ones that are playing in England.
Yeah, I mean, comments from Stephen Fletcher and Ryan Fraser, so, you know, making it clear that they didn't have their hands held behind their backs by their club. They weren't forced to miss the games, but they did. You know, they were the part of the decision.
Craig Brown, former Scotland manager, always had a terrific saying. He said, we don't need conscripts, we want volunteers. Don't want people coming up to play for Scotland with their bottom lip trembling. You want people coming up because they're desperate to play.
Craig goes on Twitter, in my opinion, international football seems to be an inconvenience for some players. If players were so honoured to play for their country, why do they retire so quickly? Thomas is in Kilsyth. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing?
Not bad, Thomas. How are you?
Aye, no bad. Hi, panel. I've got 2 points. My first point is Alex McLeish, Norwich, Scotland. Situation, guys. I personally think Alex McLeish should go right now. I just don't think he's... don't like him. It's not that I don't like him, it's just I don't think he's the right manager for the job. And I think with Strachan, when Strachan was in the job, players wanted to play for Strachan, regardless of where they were played in the park. I just feel that the players don't want to play for McLeish anymore. And also dropping James Forrest and Oliver Burke. I didn't get that at all, because in the game against San Marino, as Mark says, James Forrest would have absolutely roasted them.
This is why the SFA have to address this problem as a matter of urgency. Now, my guess is they will not do anything, and Alec McLeish will be in charge for the doubleheader, Cyprus and Belgium, in June. And Rod Petrie and Alan McRae will hope that nothing dramatic happens. And by that I mean Cyprus get a point at Hampden, or we lose by a heavy margin to Belgium in Brussels. So they'll go on and they'll take their chances. But we have to get a mood surrounding this international team that is far more positive than it is at present, because Thomas And many others believe that some players are not coming because they can't be bothered. They value club football more highly. They don't respect the manager. And for them, international football is a pest.
Do you think, I mean, Alex McLeish is obviously aware of this. He was obviously heard the abuse that was coming from the stands last night. Do you think he wakes up this morning or later on this week and thinks, you know, I've had enough myself. I understand how bad those results were. I understand the fans perhaps want me to go. I'll make the decision by myself.
If Alec McLeish was of a mind to think that way, Mark, he would have gone last Thursday night. At the end of the game against Kazakhstan, he would have gone into the press room and announced his resignation.
Is it possible, though, that, you know, amidst a double header where he's thinking, I've got a job to do on Sunday, let's get through that, then I can take a breath and figure out where we're at. Is there any chance for you that this week he decides, nah, this is, I'm not putting up with this?
No. I would guarantee you he'll be the manager on Saturday the 8th of June at 7:45 when we kick off against Cyprus.
Thomas, you want to come back in?
It's just as I say, the Forest one, and I mean, he's playing his skin for Celtic, Gordon, and he goes over to San Marino and he sits on the bench. I just don't understand McLeish, the way that his tactics are anything. I mean, I just don't agree with him as a manager at all, and I don't understand why we let go of Strachan, because I love Gordon Strachan, even when he was at Celtic. Which I don't think will become an excellent manager, but I just liked everything Gordon Strachan done is with Celtic and with Scotland, because players played for him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever position they played for him. I just feel with McLeish, they don't want to play for him at all. All right, we're injured, we're not. All right, we'll just say that to mask the fact that nobody wants to play for Alec McLeish.
This is where it does become difficult, Mark, because it seems like any hope we had of gaining momentum from the Nations League campaign is now completely gone already.
Of course,
because
yeah.
James Forrest, against Kazakhstan, everybody was rubbish. Absolutely everybody. Mm. So it made, you know, he certainly wasn't the only one. Everybody was terrible. Go back to the previous game. The previous two games are Israel and Albania. James Forrest scores 5 goals in those two games. Yeah. But then on the back of Kazakhstan, it's almost as if, well, that's that wiped out. He then doesn't play against San Marino, and he's back to square one. I mean, people were actually looking at the Albania-Israel games and going, okay, maybe this is James Forrest's time for Scotland. Maybe we've now got that match winner that we've been lacking. But everything that was built up has gone.
Yeah, James Forrest is a match winner. There's no doubt about that. Everyone has off nights. And I said on Thursday night, when I watched James Forrest against Kazakhstan, he'd done a lot of his work on the line, on the actual touchline, where there was no space to move. And that becomes quite easy for a fullback to defend against. James Forrest's season and his goals in the Nations League all came from him running in off the line into that space. Didn't play that way. But I think last night, when you're looking for a result and goals and chances to be created, you play the one guy who's given that all season, and that's James Forrest.
So the players were booed in San Marino last night. We're going to start hearing from some of them after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Evans and Mark Wilson are here. Get your calls in 0141 951 1025 on Twitter. We are at Clyde SSB. There is a tweet in here, says paranoid, and then I won't bother reading the rest because it's a wee bit rude. Reality check. Stop blaming McLeish. Pep Guardiola couldn't make this team perform. Here's a thought. Maybe the best in Scotland just aren't that good. Jim in New Jersey.
Well, we know they're not that good because they haven't been at a major tournament for 21 years. We're trying to find a way back into the international mainstream. We know we're not that good. We're trying to find a dynamic which changes the way we are.
Yeah, but and surely it's all about getting a manager who gets the best out of what you've got.
I was going to say, now we'll go back to Celtic and Ronnie Dyla. Ronnie Dyla had good players at his disposal, but didn't play particularly good football. The crowds dwindled, winning cups, crowds dwindled. Brendan Rodgers comes in with the same group of players, with a few added, and gets them to play a totally different style of football, gets them to run further than anyone else, and gets success. You can't tell me if someone along those lines was in charge of Scotland, someone with this mind frame that we could play passing attractive football and coached them in that sense, it wouldn't be more attractive to watch. Of course it would be.
And that's why names like Stevie Clark are jumping out from Twitter, Hugh Keevans, because Stevie Clark has taken, I always try and not sound disrespectful to the Kilmarnock players, but he's taken a group of players and raised the level of what they're capable of.
Yeah.
And that's what we need someone to do.
I mean, the point that Mark makes is exactly the correct one, because Ronnie Dyla finished up losing to Rangers in a penalty shootout. When the fitness of the Celtic players was being called into question, when people wondered if Scott Brown was actually finished, so on and so forth. And the dynamic changed, and how, with the introduction of Brendan Rodgers. Now, we have players who are decent. Last night, they contrived to look much less than decent, and in Kazakhstan, they couldn't have spelt decent. So we need a change of dynamic.
Nadeem's in Livingston. Hi, Nadeem.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, panel. How are you doing?
Hello.
Right.
Hi. The point that I think Mark just stole my thunder there a little bit, actually. The point that I was going to make also was the fact that you can have a manager come in with the same group of players and can make a big difference. As Mark said, Brendan did it with, you know, at Celtic. Stevie Clark is a huge example of that. You know, he's totally transformed Kilmarnock. Although they've not had great results over the last few weeks, but before that they were flying, you know, sitting second at some points in the league. So I don't subscribe to the view that, you know, no manager can make a big difference, because I think they could. But my main point was that I think, and we've touched on it already, the fact that there's players out there that don't want to play for Alex McLeish, and I don't think they don't want to play. I think something's happened from my point of view as a Scotland fan that goes to most games. I think that, you know, looking at the way Scotland are playing, there's just, you know, I was one of the ones that said that I wanted Strachan gone. I thought that he was a good manager, but I just felt that we hadn't qualified, so it's something fresh, you know, to get us to the next, hopefully, to our tournament. But it's like we went backwards, you know. Even the UEFA Nations League, you know, we stumbled across the line. It wasn't a case that we played great football, you know, and then all of a sudden we're playing bad football, you know, and actually we're getting a tough time. We struggled to get across the line. We got across the line, yes, but we struggled. And now we're just going from one bad performance to another, and I just hope that we don't go too far in line where we you know, where it's near enough impossible to qualify, and that's when SFA take action and get a new manager. And I think, I mean, I'm a Rangers fan, so I've got a lot of time for McLeish, but I think as a manager now, as Mark says, I think we need someone else in there to just change things up and then get us back on the road.
This is the gamble the SFA face. Do they allow things to go on and let Alec take the games against Cyprus and Belgium? In my opinion, believe that's precisely what they will do. And they will take the chances that we do beat Cyprus, whether it's in front of 5,000 or 25,000, and that we avoid humiliation in Belgium. Although having lost 3-0 in Kazakhstan, it'll be a long night in Brussels. But they will take that gamble. And then I think we'll be assessing things afresh mid-June.
I mean, Mark, it just seems that there is absolutely there's no goodwill in the tank. There was barely any when Alex McLeish took over, because most people didn't want it. Even the Nations League top in that group and guaranteeing the playoff, it just seems like there's no goodwill there. Because I said this near the top of the show, Republic of Ireland only beat Gibraltar 1-0 the other day. That's the same result as what we got in San Marino last night. You know, Croatia, the World Cup finalists, lost against Hungary. These are terrible results, but they won't be acting the way we are, because we have no goodwill. We've not done anything to build that up prior to these disappointing results.
Yeah, you're right. We've had very little to cheer about, not only under Alex McLeish's reign, but as Hugh said, several managers going over, you know, a huge space of time. So it's difficult for the Scotland fans to cut any slack. But I think when you build up results, like I said earlier on the show, within a 13-month period of losing away at Israel, and everyone expects you to go there and win that, and then what's came this week, then the fans have every right to voice their opinion. Now, the thing is, since Thursday night, I've not heard one person, and they may have been on other stations or whatever, come out and say, I think McLeish should be given to June. Everyone is of the same opinion. Surely the SFA have to listen to the support on this one.
Imagine this for a choice. Jason Coogans has tweeted in, he started a Twitter poll. Who would you vote for if you only had two choices for SFA president? Rod Petrie or Hugh Keevans?
Shug at the helm. Imagine that.
Incredible. Mark is in Hamilton. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Robin. How are we doing?
Good, thanks, Mark. What's your point tonight?
A couple of wee points. One about Scotland, one about Celtic. Hugh, do you remember Curly, Larry and Mo?
I do. They were in order, Larry, Curly and Mo. You've got the order wrong, but yes.
The Three Stooges.
Yes,
that's
correct.
What they've got now, standing at the side of the park watching Scotland. That's James McFadden. But he, I think he just goes on the great goal they scored against France. What else did he do? Well, he gets him into that position.
Yeah, I don't have to agree with you, Mark. I will voluntarily agree with you. I think that the team, the managerial team, is, in the case of James McFadden, relatively inexperienced. They had a great career as a player. Could never knock him as a player. And he, of course, is famous for that goal in France. That's not his fault. Lots of people are famous for a goal.
To be fair, I mean, I have heard this a couple of times, Hugh, and this is not to do with the coaching credentials, because Mark may be right, but he scored 14 other times for Scotland. There was a time when he was the only player that ever produced Scotland.
I don't see anything wrong with the James McFadden thing. I think James McFadden is a good appointment. I think if we were wanting younger players to come into your squad, and we've got younger players into your squad, I think having someone like James McFadden to be around, and guys just looking at him saying, he's been here, he's done it, I think he's very approachable. So I have no qualms about that one. Well, I think tactically, that's out of his hands.
I mean, sure, you could say that this is just... I feel free to say, well, that's just a sign of where we are, because we've not been at a tournament, which is fine, but the fact still remains, he's probably the best Scotland player of the last 20 years.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with his right to be on the touchline beside the international manager. I just think that I would, at this particular time, I would be looking for a managerial team that had more stature and credibility. And I mean no disrespect to anyone. I'm an old friend of Peter Grant's, but Peter has had coaching chances before and they haven't worked out the way he would have wanted. I just think that ours lacks stature.
Mark?
I was going to say quickly, when you look back to Walter Smith and Tommy Burns, Ali McCoys was that kind of, very little experience did he have at that time in terms of coaching, but he was put on the national team staff and it worked. So I think there's space for someone like that.
Mark and Hamilton.
No, I don't agree with Mark about James McFadden, but I'll go to my next point, Gordon. Who starts up front against Rangers on Sunday for Celtic?
Ooh. We're a bit short on time for that to be an in-depth answer,
well,
but give it a go quickly.
I mean, you've got the choice, Odson Edouard, Ollie Burke.
Who are you picking?
I am getting inside the mind of Neil Francis Lennon, and I am saying Ollie Burke.
Edouard.
The Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time. A good way to kick off the week by getting one over on Hugh Keevans or Mark Wilson. If you fancy it tonight, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now and it's your chance to take them on and win a signed ball. Be quick because you only have until the news at 7. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson are here with me, Gordon Duncan. It's been another night of doom and gloom, Hugh Keevans, but that's what the Scotland national team will do to you.
Well, it's been 21 years, you know, and we are still on the hunt for a solution to how we turn the corner in this long road that so far has had no turning.
Don't worry, the return of domestic football is just around the corner. Let's do this.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
We are going to hear from Scotland captain Andrew Robertson. Very interesting stuff from him. But let's play Beat the Pundit first. Hugh and Mark are standing by. One of them is up against another Andrew. Andrew in Bells Hill. How are you tonight, Andrew?
I'm not too bad. How are we doing, guys?
Yeah, good, thank you. You feeling in confident Beat the Pundit mood?
I don't know. First time I've called in, so who knows how it'll go.
Why tonight? Is it because you thought Hugh Keevans has got a cold, I can maybe take advantage of that, and Mark Wilson's not usually here on a Monday, he might be a bit out of sorts?
Maybe off his game. Who knows?
I like it. I like your thinking. There's a few. You've got tongues wagging on Twitter.
Aye.
There's some different theories coming in that that you're fit. You've
why I'm here.
That you've divorced Gordon DL. Last thing he needs is another one of them.
No. It's far more straightforward than that.
Yes, Alex is no here.
And I need a lift home.
Do you know what's shocking about Hugh Keevans? He gets that in on air so that Mark Wilson
can refuse it.
That is the first time Hugh has brought that up tonight. He hasn't asked him privately. That's Mark now has to take him home. Right, okay. Anyway, sorry Andrew. Heads, you're up against Hugh. Tails, it is Mark. And it's heads for his cheek. Hugh Keevans up against Andrew from Bells Hill. So we'll give Hugh some Clyde 2 and we'll get the clock up and running. Andrew, you've got 30 seconds head to head with Hugh. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
Which side did Kenny McLean start his career with?
Aberdeen.
The Malcolm Canmore Tower features on which Scottish Championship badge?
Fallower.
Which team did Peter Lovenkrantz leave Rangers for?
Newcastle.
How many different spells did Chick Charnley have at Partick Thistle as a player?
Two.
Which team won the first SPL season in 98-99?
Rangers.
Okay. Hugh Keevans, are you with us?
I am.
You are. Are you enjoying some Clyde 2 there?
Some
right up your street, was it?
Some big band anthem thing.
Right, okay. Never mind. You ready?
Yes.
Which side did Kenny McLean start his career with?
St Mirren.
The Malcolm Canmore Tower features on which Scottish Championship side's badge?
Falkirk.
Which team did Peter Lovenkrantz leave Rangers for?
Everton.
How many different spells did Chick Charnley have at Partick Thistle as a player?
Three.
Which team won the first SPL season in 98-99?
Rangers.
Which side did Leicester sign Filip Benkovic from?
Pass. Foreign team.
What do you think, Andrew? What do you make of the competition?
Zagreb.
Oh, see if Andrew had got that far, but he didn't. That's what happens. You have to go a bit quicker. Let's go through. Which side did Kenny McLean start his career with? It was St Mirren. Andrew said Aberdeen. That was the one in the middle. So 1-0 to Hugh Keevans. The Malcolm Canmore Tower, I must admit, I had no idea about this one. Features on which Championship side's badge? Dunfermline. There you go. You'll never forget it again, though. Which team did Peter Lovenkrantz leave Rangers for?
Newcastle.
Schalke. First of all, yeah, it was. So still 1-0 to Hugh Keevans. How many different spells did Chick Charnley have at Partick Thistle as a player? It was four.
Ooh.
So it's still 1-0 to Hugh Keevans after all those questions. Which team won the first SPL season in 98-99? You both went Rangers. You both got it right. So it's 2-1 Hugh Keevans. And Andrew, that was where it ended for you. You knew you're kicking yourself. If you'd got to the next one, you would have equalised. Filip Benkovic signed for Leicester from Dinamo Zagreb. Hugh got it wrong. Andrew didn't get that far, which means it is 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. Hard lines, Andrew.
Ah, well, fair play, Hugh.
All right, Andrew.
Good man. That was Andrew in Bells Hill.
I think I rubbed off on Hugh. Some of those answers. Not a classic there, Hugh.
Do you know that was no offence to Andrew on this. I'm not referring to Andrew's San Marino, but that was just like last night. It was a win, but underwhelming.
Yeah, you get conjunctivitis.
No one's going to remember that. That was not a classic. Anyway, beat the pundit back at the same time tomorrow night. And I like this tweet from Kevin. Kevin McHugh says, over the last few days, I witnessed two of the worst performances I have ever seen in my 39 years of watching sport. I think it's imperative for everyone's sake, we as a nation are given assurances that Mark Wilson and Alex Ray never pick up another golf club again. And he's put, at Scottish Golf Show.
Oh, yes.
Explain yourself.
We went along to the Scottish Golf Show, me and Alex, we challenge, and we went through several challenges. It was a brilliant setup. First one was golf darts. I was terrible at that. Had it on an inflatable dartboard. Then there was Chittim. Then there was a bunker challenge. Alex played a bunker shot that I've never seen before. Managed to get the club to go all the way under the ball, and the ball didn't move. So that was great. And then we went through other challenges, but Alex beat me. But what a great great event it was. It was a pity we weren't that good at golf.
Okay, 01419511025. John's lined up in Coatbridge. Let's hear a bit from the Scotland captain, Andy Robertson. He says the fans were right to boo during the game against San Marino. He says the players took a knock in confidence against Kazakhstan and that didn't help the performance yesterday.
3 points, I suppose that's the only positive we can really take from it. I think we started bright, first 5-10 minutes, so we looked like a team that was going about our business properly, and you know, obviously got the early goal and we started getting a bit slack. We spoke about it before the game and said, look, whatever we do, we give 100% and we don't give them a sniff, and you know, we didn't follow that instruction and we started giving the ball away a bit cheaply, and they started gaining a bit of confidence. But you know, we were comfortable throughout the game and it could have been a lot more comfortable, but you know, we have to play a lot better than that in the tougher games of the campaign. You know, I wouldn't say it's worrying, but you know, everyone knows what happened on Thursday night, and you know, the lads are, you know, affected by it. You can't hide away from that, and everyone is, and you know, we need to pick us up. So you know, we hoped for a good performance tonight, but you know, after Thursday it was maybe just, you know, people playing with a bit, you know, not the confidence that they usually play with, and then when a few mistakes start happening, then the fans getting on top of you, which is the right thing for them to do, but it doesn't help for the lads that have maybe suffered a defeat on Thursday and then try and get their confidence back. But look, it's 3 points and it gets a campaign off to start, you know, just
perhaps come back to something we suggested earlier on, Hugh, about the damage of Thursday. And I just feel like I'm not trying at all to say that last night wasn't that bad. Yes, it was. I'm just trying to get a bit of perspective here. Scotland have played in San Marino 4 times. Mm-hmm. We have never done better than 2-0. We have won 2-0 on all 4 of our visits to San Marino. But no one, you don't ever hear people in the show going, oh, remember that time in October 2000 when we only won 2-0 in San Marino? You know, it is seen as being much worse because of what happened on Thursday.
Sure, that's the nature of football. Because Kazakhstan is absolutely fresh in the memory, the fans are demanding a performance and lots of goals against San Marino. Neither thing materialises, no performance to speak of, and no avalanche of goals. What I will say about Andrew Robertson, please don't get irrational about him and start telling me that he's not a good player or not as good as he thinks he is. He's every bit the player that we think he is. And if Liverpool make it to the Champions League final, I guarantee you, if he has to take a taxi from the venue to go back and join the Scotland squad, he is one that we can absolutely rely on for the Cyprus game on the 8th of June.
The thing about no confidence though, and he's saying the players have no confidence, we touched on it earlier on, because of the Kazakhstan game, when you look at the changes that were made though, you know, 6 of those players didn't play against Kazakhstan. So Adorno and Robertson coming in,
yeah, but surely they're also in their head going, by the way, if this doesn't go exactly the way the fans want it, we're in. You know, you don't have to have played to suffer from low confidence.
But it's a lot worse, Gordon, I tell you, when you've been on a pitch and been battered 3-0, and to go and try and do it again, there, you know, perhaps there is some part of you is hesitant. But those guys, Adorno, Robertson, Russell Fraser, McLean and Patterson, some of them got wee snippets of the game against Kazakhstan, but the majority were fine to go on and play. And again, it goes back to those players, fresh. I know they travelled a long way, but fresh, you know, no game time in their legs, should have ran over the top of San Marino.
0141 951 1025. You asked the question, Mark Wilson, and I think we've got the first one in about 3 days. Michael is in Blainfield and he wants to back Alex McLeish. Am I right, Michael?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi. No, absolutely. I want to back Alex McLeish, and not because I think Alex McLeish was the right appointment. I think bagging Alex McLeish and bringing a new man in now is completely unfair to the new man. The other point that I wanted to make was, I was sitting on Tuesday night, I think it was Tuesday night, when Jim Duffy was on. And I respect Jim Duffy hugely. I think he speaks a lot of sense. And he basically picked the same team as Alex McLeish. And my question to Hugh and Mark, and obviously yourself, Gordon, is where is the evidence that Scotland goes away from home, plays an attacking 4-3-3 and gets a result? I think the previous manager of Kazakhstan, who was quoted in the newspapers, got it bang on. Before the game, we were talking about how many. How many goals are we going to come back to Kazakhstan with? And Ollie Buck is in the paper saying, do you know what, guys? Don't blame the manager. We never followed out his instructions. So there's a number of points there that I'd like to hear your opinions on.
Well, first of all, the Kazakhstan result, however you come at it, was a disgrace. It doesn't matter who said what prior to the game. The result and the performance were both disgraceful. That creates a mindset among supporters, among the media, among the players themselves. And they go into a game against the worst team in the world and they do not play particularly well. They will not sack Alec McLeish between now and the game against Cyprus on the 8th of June. But if anything should happen against Cyprus, and by that I mean the loss of a point, or if we are turned over comprehensively by Belgium in a way that is humiliating, then the SFA will have to turn their minds to that particular question, and they will have the remainder of the summer in which to do so. But nothing will happen between now and June.
Mark Wilson, yeah, I mean, Michael may well be right. Certainly middle to front, I don't think many people would have complained that the team picked against Kazakhstan. The obvious one in hindsight is Scott McTominay. People are saying, hold on a minute, he's playing in the Champions League, how can he not get a game? And we know how difficult an evening it was for Graham Shinney, certainly, and Liam Palmer to an extent. But it's not all about team selection, is it? There's more to it than that. It's about trying to get reactions from players when things aren't going well.
Yeah, well, the thing, Michael made a point there that, if Ollie Burke did say it, I didn't read it, that he came out and said that don't blame the manager, blame us, we didn't follow his instructions. Well, okay, the players have to take responsibility for that, but when they went 2-0 down, then the manager has to regroup. He's then got a half time team talk that, you know, hugely important at that stage to reiterate his points that he actually wanted. You can't tell me that players didn't carry out his instructions in the first half, listen to his team talk in the second half, and then went, we're going to continue no carrying out his instructions. I don't believe that for 1 minute. So yeah, on you go, Michael.
Could I ask, my first or second point was, show me the evidence of when Scotland has gone abroad, away from home, played an attacking 4-3-3 and got an absolutely brilliant result.
Albania.
Brilliant, Mark.
They're better than Kazakhstan, Michael. They're better than Kazakhstan.
No, I'm just answering your question, Michael. I don't know what point you were making there. That's the only thing I can think of.
The point I'm making is you've got a brand new back four. You've got a brand new back four that have never played together. To my mind, and I, Mark, believe me, I understand you know the professional game much better than I do. Believe me, I understand that. But would it not have been better to set your stall out to get a solid first hour, and then who was our number nine? Our number nine was Ollie Burke. What is his main attribute? Pace. Would we not have been better playing counter-attacking football rather than
I think you've got a good argument, Michael. Yeah, I do think you've got a good argument. I don't think we should go out there and expect to run over the top of anyone. I was just saying Albania because that was a question you asked. I also think perhaps Alex McLeish perhaps thought that way. We kind of played similarish and we got our rewards. And I think perhaps looked at Kazakhstan and thought, we were players, we'll go and run over the top of them again. However, the game panned out hugely different and we were open, wide open, across the back four from the first minute. Now, that's a dangerous boy. And Michael could be onto something. Perhaps we need to look at it and go, let's be a defensive side. Let's use attributes like pace with Burke on the counter-attack rather than just going at teams. And perhaps you get a different result. But that can only come from the manager then. And he obviously told these players to play that way.
It's all good with hindsight, Hugh, and we appreciate the reason for it because we were hopeless in Kazakhstan. We get turned over. But I just wonder how we would have reacted 2 minutes into the game. Well, maybe that's the wrong way to put it because we were behind early on. But the notion that we should have gone over there and sort of sat in and tried to be hard to beat against Kazakhstan, I don't know. Is that hindsight off the scale?
Everyone goes back to Craig Levein and playing with no striker at all. And it did for Craig Levein. He was never treated seriously as an international manager thereafter.
And that was against a much better team than...
Yeah.
But to be fair, Michael's not suggesting you play with no striker, but...
You know, we
I'm
are...
I'm not suggesting that... Sorry, go on, you.
Well, Michael, let me turn it on you then. You want Alec to stay?
I do, because I don't think it's fair on a new manager. He's playing catch-up right away.
No, but as I said, nothing will happen between now and June.
No, but it's all in context. It's all in context. If you bring a new manager in, no, and by the way, I think you've nailed it on the head. But if you bring a guy in now, you said yourself, Hugh, we drop another point, we're out of the equation. Is that fair to put that pressure on a new manager?
Well, football's about pressure. You know, managers have to come in. Neil Lennon's come in at Celtic to replace Brendan Rodgers. And if he doesn't win the treble, people will be pointing fingers at him.
Michael makes a fair enough point, though, in that it's even in the space of two games, it's now a far less attractive proposition than it was, even at the start of this campaign.
But my point, Gordon, is
would you want to take it? Who would take it right now?
Oh, listen, I think people would, because they've still got still that carrot of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the big one.
The safety.
But nothing will happen right now. Nothing at all.
That's all right. We can still
we can
still speculate about what people want to happen.
By the time we play Belgium, mid-June, then is the time to reassess, review the situation and say, do we need to change the manager? That is the time to do it. When we're in the summer recess, if you like, and the new season doesn't start for weeks, that is the time to assess the situation.
Thank you very much to Michael on the line. It's 01419511025. If you want to join him, don't worry, Hugh. So far you've got 100% on the poll. You're ahead of Rod Petrie. So that's all that matters.
My fellow citizens,
a lukewarm victory. Stevie O'Callaghan says everything comes from the manager. I don't care what the team is. Kilmarnock don't think anyone can beat them. Real Madrid have went back to Zidane. The manager matters. And MB, I'm going to cut MB some slack, Hugh, because maybe he's just joined us. He says, at what point is the total lack of leadership from the Scottish FA going to be addressed? It only took you about 15 seconds into tonight's show. Maybe MB missed it. Right, 01419511025. The full-time teaser is coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans are here. I almost said Gordon Dale. I almost called you Gordon Dale because it just rolls off the tongue. But when you mix up the scheduling in a week, it plays with my brain. So anyway, Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson are here. Get your calls in. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. And it's time for them to tackle their full-time teaser. Robert Park sent it in. Better Times, I'm calling it, Hugh. That's the name I'm giving the question. Better Times. Name the last 12 players to score for Scotland at a World Cup. Remember, you can play along on Twitter. And even better, if you want to send the question in and get it used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. So can you name the last 12 players to score for Scotland at a World Cup finals?
Johnny Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Burley.
Mm-hmm. He's taking the two easy ones, Mark.
I was going to say that was my two here. You should have left all the older ones, like before I was born. Surely it goes back to that. David Neary.
Yes.
Come on here. Archie Gemmell. Surely we're not going back that far.
Not quite, nope.
No.
McCoist.
No, actually.
Paul McStay.
No.
Mo Johnson.
Yes. All right, that's 4 of 12, so you're doing not too bad. The last 12 players to score for Scotland at a World Cup finals: John Collins, Craig Burley, Mo Johnson, David Neary. So you've got another 8 to get. You can play along on Twitter at Clyde SSB. I'm sure most of the calls that are going to come in, Hugh, will be about the Scotland debacle. You can certainly call it a debacle. Talk to me about domestic football, because this is official. We officially declared it the business end of the season a few games ago. But you know that once you get over that final international break, that is it. You're on the home straight towards silverware, towards promotion, relegation, and everything else that comes with the end of the season. That time is upon us.
Well, I mean, high noon, Sunday afternoon, Celtic Park, 60,000 sellout. Neil Lennon up against his near neighbour in the west end of the city, Stephen Gerrard. A game that could have remarkable consequences for either manager. Neil Lennon has a 10-point lead. If he extends it to 13 points, the league is over. If Stephen Gerrard wins his second successive match against Celtic and the lead is reduced to 7 points with 7 games to play, in my opinion, the league is not over. So, Neil Lennon wants the Celtic job on a permanent basis. He has had a belated win at Tynecastle, a belated win at Dens Park, a goalless draw with Aberdeen in his 3 league matches since replacing Brendan Rodgers. He needs, I think, to beat Rangers. He's doing the audition, as I keep on saying. He needs a victory over Rangers on Sunday. If Steven Gerrard loses to Celtic, then he can write off this season as a trophyless season, and he will need to do much better in the season that follows, because if Celtic are going for 9 in a row, the manager of Rangers will find himself working in an unforgiving atmosphere. That's the importance of Sunday.
I think going on previous discussions, Mark Wilson, you believe that the league is over regardless of what happens on Sunday. You think even if Rangers win on Sunday, the league's still over?
Yes. I mean, Hugh says there's 7 games to go. I just think that's too little for Rangers, even
so it would
if
be,
they
it
do
would,
win.
It would, yeah, if they won, it would be 7 points with 7 to go.
Yes, I still think that Celtic will do enough in their remaining games and win them, and it's too much for Rangers. But I still think it's hugely significant for Celtic to win the game in terms of Neil Lennon. I think Neil Lennon, if he wins the league, he still has to do it in a certain way, you know, to please the Celtic fans. A lot would have Neil Lennon in the job just now, but I still think, and I've heard some say that they would be happy for another to come in. And sometimes his style of football comes into question with a portion of the Celtic fans. And if that points gap dwindles away or is less than what when Brendan Rodgers left, I think Neil would then struggle to take the job. However, if he wins and goes 13 points clear, and then that becomes 15 or 16, then he's looked upon as a hero and he should get the job from the Celtic fans across the city. I then think Rangers fans would be right to question Steven Gerrard if the points gap got bigger and bigger. And the question would be, what has happened at the tail end of the season? From January or the end of December, when we were sitting joint top with Celtic, to now, if the points gap had to increase. So it's a hugely significant game for both sides and both managers.
And then Hugh Keevans, I suppose, after the international break, there's a bit of a roll call to be done. It looks like Kieran Tierney will be fit despite missing Scotland's game in San Marino. Alfredo Morelos was away with Colombia. You wait to see how he recovers from that. Tom Rogic hasn't played in a long, long time. Is it the type of game he would be pitched back into? So a few questions this week.
Well, as a professional, Mark, I'm sure would agree that it would be highly unusual for even a player as good as Tom Rogic to be thrown into that match after months out because of injury. So I wouldn't expect to see Tom Rogic play from the start. I think Neil Lennon will have to conjure up another formation, but there are so many side issues, Gordon. Could this be the day when Alfredo Morelos scores against Celtic for the first time? He scored so many goals this season, created so many arguments, but you can't take away from the sheer volume of goals that he has scored. Could he be first against Celtic? Could Oliver Burke get his goal in his Old Firm debut? All of these things. It's an absolutely enthralling, fascinating fixture.
Alec is a Celtic fan on the line. You already looking forward to it, Alec, or is that still to come later in the week?
No, I'm already looking forward to it, mate. The international break was just a big, massive inconvenience. And two words, we are rank rotten. Obviously, it's the beginning of the show. It's all doom and gloom around about Scotland. We are 6 days and counting to the Old Firm game. I'm going to be one of the lucky ones that's sitting there, obviously, because I got my season ticket. Really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. These are the kind of games that's going to help Neil Lennon if he's going to get the job on a permanent basis. There's only a few big games left this season, so this is one of them. And if they can chalk up a convincing victory against one of our arch rivals, it'll go a long way on keeping them in this position.
That's a fair point Alec makes, Hugh, because I'm drawing out a ridiculous hypothetical here, but bear with me. Celtic still win the league, but they lose twice to Rangers.
Uh-huh.
Neil Lennon's case to be the next Celtic manager looks entirely different.
Yeah.
Because these are the games that people remember.
Yeah, I mean, Alec would be the first on here around about 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon if Celtic don't win. And that the investigation of Neil's right to be the Celtic manager on a permanent basis would begin then. It is absolutely crucial for him that he wins that match on Sunday. You can get away with a not very great display against Hearts at Tynecastle, but saved by an Odson-Edouard late goal. You can get away with a highly mediocre game against Dundee again saved by an Odson Edouard goal. You can get away with a goalless draw with Aberdeen at Celtic Park, no harm done in the long run, but you cannot get away with mediocrity or anything else against Rangers at Celtic Park. If the game was at Ibrox and you lost it, these things happen.
I was a part of the squad where Neil was on trial, if you like, before when Tony Mowbray got the sack, and I think it was seven games perhaps left, six or seven games, and one of those games was against Rangers, and I thought it was huge for Neil to win that game to get the job. And it was at Celtic Park, and we won it. It was a night game. We won it 2-1, I think it was. And it was a huge victory for him. He also won the other games round about it, but I think a lot of fans looked at that game because Rangers were runaway leaders that season. I mean, we were so far behind them. We were so poor that season. But Neil coming in and winning a few games, but then winning against Rangers. And bear in mind, he had that disappointment against Ross County in the Cup, mm-hmm. which could have went against him. But I think the win against Rangers was hugely important. I think you're right, Hugh. I think this Sunday it's along the same lines as well as the other game to come.
Big thanks to Alec on the line, 01419511025, to join him on Twitter as well. Gordon Hugh in the Mushroom. McLeish has played 12 games so far in his second spell as manager. He's lost 7 games out of the 12. If that isn't a sign showing that he's not good enough, then I don't know what is. That is a tweet sent in by Michael. Yeah, I don't think you could really defend the record as such this time around, Hugh.
3 words: results driven business.
And I think it, again, when we go back to when Strachan was manager, and was it a calendar year we were undefeated, I think the fans still remember that. And although we didn't qualify for the two tournaments, they still had this thing that, yeah, we are going places, we're undefeated. And now to go, you know, 7 defeats in 12 and 3 embarrassing, real embarrassing ones in there, doesn't look good.
Are you seriously putting Israel away as embarrassing as those other two?
Not as embarrassing, but still
the third most embarrassing.
We've got a league table now, that's embarrassments. Yeah.
That's where we're at. Great. 01419511025 is the number. Craig in Cumbernauld has dialed. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Gordon. Mark. You.
Hello.
Hi. I think I've listened to a lot of the conversation tonight. You know, I do agree that I think Alec McLeish's time is up as Scotland manager, but I think there's other problems with this as well. I think my 2 points are, I think the players seem to just get away with it all the time. They seem to be able just to walk away, go back to their league business, put in performances for the clubs, and just completely forget about how poor they were for the national team until the next time the game comes up. I think, you know, that's not right. And you've got players who, you know, McLeish will field a team on that park against Kazakhstan. Not one of them wanted to be there. They couldn't be bothered. Then at half time, you've got Callum McGregor, who's supposed to be the captain, having a bit of a confrontation with James McFadden and sort of pushing him out of the way. Now, he's experienced poor results at Celtic, right? He's been beaten 7-0 by Paris Saint-Germain, 7-2 by Barcelona. They've had a couple other poor results. I have never once seen Callum McGregor walk up and do that kind of thing to John Kennedy at Celtic or anybody else. So, you know, for a start, I thought that was highly inappropriate. And then when I listened to the, you know, yourselves later on that night, you were all defending it as if it was okay. It's not. You know, he's supposed to be the captain. And what, you know, Scotland or not, if he wouldn't do that at Celtic after a poor result, then he should be doing it at Scotland.
Well, yeah, just to be clear, I can see why we maybe gave off that impression, Craig. I don't think we're trying to say it was okay. I think we were trying to say, Hugh, that it was a result so bad that a wee push between a player and the coach was insignificant in comparison, but there we go.
As I understand it, it's a misunderstanding. Callum McGregor, as captain, wants all the players to go to the fans who have travelled 3,500 miles to be in Kazakhstan, and doesn't know why Scott McTominay has disappeared up the tunnel. So there's a misunderstanding there, and you know, the James McFadden tells Callum McGregor exactly what's taking place. So it's a misunderstanding.
Anyway, what about the wider point?
The wider point is about the team selection and the players that get selected. Mm-hmm. I think that there are players, we've got really talented football players that don't get called up to the Scotland team. And part of the reason they don't get called up is maybe the division they're playing in or whatever else. We're talking about players who don't want to be there. Stephen Doby said it'd be a dream to get back in the Scotland team. He scored 38 goals this season. You've got Oran Shankland. Between him and Doby, they've scored 70-odd goals. Now, people look at it and go, oh, well, it's a championship, and they turn their nose up.
like that's still not a great achievement. No, you know,
we've got players here who have been criticised by callers, and it's their entitlement. That's why we're here. Come on, tell us what you think. But we've got players here who are in the Premiership who are getting criticised. So there is no basis for going to Stephen Dobie or to Lauren Shanklin. With respect to both, there is no basis for going to them and asking them to make a difference to the full international squad. It is, with respect to you, sir, an irrational idea.
Yeah. There's a reason, though, that these players are picked for Scotland, Craig. It's because they are the best. Now, you may get one or two. You know, you're looking at guys like Snodgrass and things who may have other problems, but you think he should be in the squad.
And people have said, you know, Liam Cooper near the top of the championship.
Yeah, right. Liam Cooper should be in the squad because they're playing at an outstanding level, you know, very, very high level. And again, guys like Snodgrass probably should be in the squad because he's an outstanding player. Stephen Dobie and Lauren Shanklin are very good players at the level that they play at. And Stephen Dobie, I think, chooses to play at that level because he gets success. I think, you know, other clubs may be interested in him, but I think he knows that that's his level. To go to Scotland is entirely different. And we always get the argument. We had it when Strachan was the manager. We probably had it before Strachan and so on, that people say, this squad isn't good enough. Such and such should be playing. Well, they're not playing because they aren't good enough to get in the squad. These players are the best we've got, unfortunately. And unfortunately, they're not good enough to beat Kazakhstan. But they are good players. Andy Robertson, Champions League final, probably are a very good chance of winning the Premier League this season. I mean, McTominay ran the show in Paris. Good, good players. I know he's not playing for Scotland, but good players and a good squad. We just need somehow to get the best out of them.
Final word to you, Craig.
I mean, I half agree with the guys there. You know, I think, you know, Dobie or that, you know, okay, the level he's playing at, but I mean, you can't tell me that Stephen Dobie's not good enough to play against Kazakhstan or San Marino. I also think that not just Stephen Dobie, that, you know, the other name that I thought was glaringly missing was Matt Ritchie. He's been playing brilliantly for Newcastle the last few months. They've
That's Matt Ritchie's
really
fault.
Yeah, to That's be fair, Craig, I don't think Matt Ritchie has shown a great desire to be in previous squads. So I think that's maybe part of the reason.
Well, maybe. I just think it's, we've got a very young team and we needed to bring young players up. The problem is, when I look in that park, I don't see the experience. I don't see the elder statesmen that we've always had, whether it was Barry Ferguson or Scott Brown or other players like that, even Craig Gordon. We don't have that experienced head on the park.
That's undeniably true. I told you, what was it, 87 caps between the starting 11 and Thursday?
Absolutely, but I don't buy in entirely to this, it's a young squad and a young team. I read that the average age against Kazakhstan was 24. 24? It's hardly baby time.
No, I know that, but we can't talk about it in other realms of football and then ignore it when it suits us. I thought it was widely acknowledged that you always at least needed a bit of experience to help you out when things aren't going well, and we don't have it.
Yeah, but we can't magic up that person. Scott Brown retired, and there is no facsimile of Scott Brown, so we'll just need to
maybe wait. If Snodgrass played though, and Fletcher
I think
was
we
there.
Were missing a voice on the park. Now Callum McGregor, I think, is a fantastic player, captain material for Scotland. I'm not so sure. You know,
but then
I'm
who else
sure.
would you give it to on the night?
I don't know, Gordon. That's a good point, but I'm not sure he's the one to dig people out.
I'd have given it to McKenna. You know, he's another one, you know, a big centre half playing for Scotland as captain. It's happened down throughout history.
Okay, let's leave that one there. Thanks to Craig and Cumbernauld. Robert Park sent the question in tonight to fulltime@clyde1.com. He's looking for the last 12 players to score for Scotland at a World Cup. You've got John Collins, Craig Burley, Mo Johnson, David Neary. I said score for Scotland, so to those of you suggesting Tom Boyd, no.
Strachan.
Yes, 86, Mexico.
Put his leg up on the board, didn't he?
Joe Jordan.
Yes.
Italia 90.
No, you're a few years out on the
86. Joe Jordan. No, 82.
Well, 82. Only 8 years out.
What about
against
Stuart,
the Soviet
Stuart
Union?
McCall? No, was that the Euros?
Stuart McCall is one against Sweden.
Italia 90. Yeah.
Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 7 of 12. Get the answers next.
Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
to the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans are here, and they are racking their brains for this full time teaser. It was sent in tonight by Robert Park. He sent it to fulltime@clyde1.com. So that's the address you need to contribute a question. Fulltime@clyde1.com. Name the last 12 players to score for Scotland at a World Cup. You're doing all right, going in order, reverse chronological order. John Collins, Craig Burley, Stuart McCall, Mo Johnson, Gordon Strachan. Then you've missed a few, and you've got David Neary and Joe Jordan.
And Stuart McCall.
Stuart McCall, yeah.
I think I said him, did I not? Did you? Collins, Burley, McCall, Johnson, Strachan, Neary, Jordan.
Okay.
Did Brian McClure?
Nope.
Did John Robertson? Is he on there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Spain, 82.
Come on, Hugh. I thought you were smarter than Gordon Dale, but now I'm.
he definitely is. Let's be under no illusions. His memory's not great, though, when it comes to things like this.
I said to him, Italian, you must have been there.
You should see the fun we have with him and DJ on a Friday doing the teasers. Off.
I've listened.
You weren't at Italia 90, no?
I wasn't, no.
I thought you'd been there.
I can't believe the driver's insulted the passenger.
There he goes, getting that in again, so Mark Wilson can't refuse him a lift home. It's all very calculated stuff. One more guess each.
Kenny Dalglish.
Yes.
He's quite
pretty worrying that it took you 20 minutes to even guess his name.
I did say to you, Kenny Dalglish must be one, and he gave me a blank look.
Right, you've only got three to get, so we'll leave it there. Ian is in Bears Den. He's a Partick Thistle fan, but I think it's Scotland that's on your mind, Ian.
Yeah, it's been absolutely shocking the last week.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got rid of Strachan too early. Strachan was very unlucky not to qualify. He seemed to be turning the team around, and the press kind of hounded him out, and he left SFA, got rid of him. McLeish was not the right pick. Obviously, it was second choice from Michael O'Neill. But after seeing San Marino getting pumped 5-0 by Cyprus, he goes and plays 4 at the back against them. I mean, surely you're going to have to go there, score a barrel with the goals and get the confidence back and get the fans on your side. But to go with a defensive team like that against the worst team in the world, who just lost 5-0, there's no excuse for that.
What would you have played at the back then, Ian?
I'd have played 3 at the back.
I wouldn't say 4 was entirely defensive.
That's 3 centre backs compared to 2.
And I think you've got O'Donnell and Robertson who kind of play that role as attacking full backs rather than defensive. So I wouldn't say it was defensive. In terms of Strachan, you know, I was one for Gordon Strachan staying on. I would have liked to have seen Gordon Strachan work with a younger group of players. The squad he had and failed with in the second time. The younger players were coming through and there was a lot of people shouting for them. I still believe it wasn't right just to throw in young players into a halfway through a qualifying campaign, and he stuck with players. Gordon's very loyal that way. But I would have liked to have seen him working a fresh campaign with a fresh group of young players
to see what happened. Just refute that allegation that Ian made about the press hounding him out? The press loved Gordon Strachan, and also the press were wary of Gordon Strachan because he had a vicious tongue if he thought that he could send you up and if you'd said something stupid. So the press loved him because he was good copy, and they were also wary of him in case he tore strips off them. So the press did not hound Gordon Strachan out.
Ian?
I beg to disagree with this. You.
Give me an example.
Maybe not you personally.
Give me an example.
A lot of people.
Give me an example.
I can't bring one exactly to mind, but there was plenty, and I think that's one of the reasons he was happy enough to go in, because he was fed up with it all.
There were plenty, but you just can't think of one.
To be fair, Ian, there cannot be many international managers, if any, that survived 2 failed qualification campaigns in a row, are there?
Probably not. He seemed to be turning things around. He got as close as to qualifying for the MDLs in the 18 years before him. So should have been given one more go, I thought.
You want him back?
I would take him back in a minute. If he was willing to come back, I would get rid of McLeish now and put Strachan in right away.
I don't think Gordon would take the job. I don't think perhaps the relationship is that strong between him and the hierarchy at the SFA. So I wouldn't imagine he'd be back anytime soon.
We're a bit short on time, so let's squeeze in Paul in Crookston and see what he makes of it. Hi, Paul.
Oh, hi, Gordon. Hi, Hugh and Mark. First time I've spoke to the Mushroom Man, so thank you.
For a big moment for you.
Brilliant. Must be a highlight for you.
Again, always talk about Scotland. Just a wee tuppence worth, I wanted to say, and see what you guys think. Just wanted to pick you up, Gordon, with a wee comment you'd said. Don't want to get into you or anything, but you'd said something about players surely don't down tools for managers or something like that on Friday. It was something I heard.
No, I think, Paul, it was just in response. I'll clear up exactly what it was. I just meant what you always hear after a bad result. You always, from a fan's perspective, and I've been there myself, you always hear the players aren't trying. And what I was trying to explore is sometimes, and Mark can tell me, having played, it might look like you're not trying. But do you think...
No, I heard what you said. There's no way that players don't try. It's just not there. But sometimes, I don't know what...
Subconsciously,
perhaps a manager
or...
can get that extra 10% out of you that just makes you better, makes you win games. Fortunately, it looks like it's not happening for us just now.
Just to say that, I mean, Mourinho comes to mind. Chelsea definitely didn't try a leg. And Paul Pogba absolutely definitely didn't try a leg. And then obviously when you see the new management come in, I agree what you're saying, you get the extra percentage and so on. I've seen it with countless managers over the years, but going on to Scotland, I do think, why do the SFA, maybe Hugh and yourselves can tell me the reason why this is the case, why not just spend a bit more money and bring in a high quality manager? It's obviously something to do with salary, I would think.
I'll give you a very simple answer to your question. There's no money. Why do you think they had to go to Sir Tom Hunter and Lord Willie Hockey to get money to help buy Hampden from Queen's Park? Because they couldn't do it on their own. They lost their main sponsor and have not replaced the main sponsor. They do not have the kind of money that would be required to go and get what we would call a marquee signing as manager. They don't have the money for it.
Very quickly, Paul, I'll give the final word to you, but we are running out of time, so on you go.
Yeah, well, I'll be an optimistic. I think let's go for Scotland, hopefully doing the nation proud in June time, and at least we've got that Nations League opportunity banked as well, so it's not all doom and gloom, is it? So hopefully that's a wee nice way to finish.
There we go, I like that, Paul, finishing a positive note. We've not had any for about the last week, so I don't mind that at all. Right, what have you two got in the teaser?
I'm struggling.
Still looking for another...
Two.
Three.
Mm-hmm. You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right, they're all from 82. New Zealand. Dalglish scored. Robertson scored.
Dennis Law.
No. 82. Someone got a double. Who got a double?
It's New Zealand.
Alex McLeish.
No.
Come on, Hugh.
If you say that again, I'll take the bus.
Who scored against the Soviet Union? Joe Jordan, and who else? Got a big Rangers connection. Oh, come on, I'll give you his initials. You'll scoosh it. GS. GS, are you joking me?
He's like, the worst field
impressive team. Impressive Scotland players. I've ever had. Liverpool, Rangers.
Graeme Souness.
If he'd been this vocal at Celtic Park, he might still be there.
What do you call it when you've got no hair?
Bald.
Steve Archibald. Oh, yous are hopeless. John Walk. We need to go. Callum Gallagher's up next. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. We're out of time.